And 1, 2, 3, 4.
Hi, I'm Brandy.
I'm Shimmy.
Why did you do this? Because I went back to the hi.
Oh, me.
Hi.
Okay.
Hello there.
And 1, 2.
Hi, she's Shimmy.
And this is Brandy.
And you are tuned in to the Effervescent Home Podcast. So we met at the Art Institute of Atlanta. Mm-hmm. I came from small town Mississippi. She came from small town Georgia. We met up at Atlanta at the Art Institute.
Yes.
And it was... I think both of us were kind of getting used to different routines. I had done community college for a year. Mm-hmm. You had done taken a year break.
Yes.
And so we come in, and it was like that kind of transition time. Mm-hmm. And I was desperately trying to find friends.
Yes, I was too, because it was definitely, even though I grew up in Georgia, just a smaller town outside the coast, living in Atlanta was somewhat of a shock to me, a culture shock, believe it or not. It's and just getting used to being a teenager at college and responsibilities, learning things about yourself you didn't know anything about, mm-hmm. and your friends call you out on it. It's like it was eye-opening and a great experience. So there are things I could say about college that, you know, me personally, I wish that they would change. But of course, they are what they are, unfortunately. But the experience itself of college life and what it offers as far as your life experience and what you... I think that's something that we need to talk about too.
Like absolutely.
College itself and the college experience.
The college experience. My dad always said that college was not the degree that you got. Our mm-hmm. degree was interior design.
Right.
He said it wasn't the degree you got. It was how you learned to solve problems. And so he knew that, whatever sense. Degree you got, you learn how to solve problems and you could do whatever you wanted to as an adult mm-hmm. in your career path. And he understood interior design to a certain degree, mm-hmm. but he's an engineer. And so if it wasn't like architecture, things that were more tangible, mm-hmm. he didn't really understand. When we started showing him like our presentations and like the drawings that we would do, he realized that it wasn't interior decorating. And that is what a lot of people think, is it's interior decorating. Interior design is completely different. And it's mm-hmm. more on the structural side. Of you work very closely with an architect mm-hmm. to do drawings inside too, because you're focused on the interior, mm-hmm. how people use that interior. They're more focused on the structure and the exterior, where we were trying to put a human aspect into the livability. And so we were in this degree together, in this program together.
Right.
And then it was intense. It was very intense. It was definitely not a regular university life. We did not have the sports and all that. And it wasn't like a... nothing. I don't think... Like, no. We had like interior design professional... Clubs. Like clubs, but...
But yeah.
Yeah, I don't think there was anything else. Now, you had told me that there was like a Toastmasters.
There were Toastmasters.
I had no idea. And as a formerly shy person, I really should have been in that. That would have broke me out of my shell a lot quicker than I was like... forcibly trying to make myself out of the shy zone.
Yeah. Because it was privately owned and they had the environment of...
it's very business.
Very business, very mm-hmm. In the world of what you would expect mm-hmm. in the world of interior design. And mm-hmm. they did our, not at the source. They did our
curriculum.
Syllabus mm-hmm. set up to, to capture that.
Mm-hmm.
And
very quick, hard deadlines.
Yes, and there full was no projects within that.
Yeah.
And time management for yeah. sure. And
they gave us a good education. They really did.
Yeah, I'm not going to sit here and say that the Art Institute isn't a good school. It's a great school. I just think that as far as for how we are set up for education, I feel like it needs to be expanded some and not so hard on a degree itself. As Brandy mentioned, Mr. David, her father made great points as far as for is definitely skill set. There are things that we can't learn from our parents, obviously. I feel that the in-world, in-world of work, skill set, whether it's a trade or something like that, I feel like that should definitely be pushed more. We discussed that mm-hmm. as far as for tradesmen's blue collar versus white collar. Mm-hmm. But we'll talk about that.
Yeah, that's definitely going to be in one of the upcoming podcasts.
But as far as for how me and Brandy met, it was an interesting story. Comical for sure.
Comical, but still, I mean, we kind of started bonding over like different things, and I don't really, we just started doing like a lot of our projects together.
Yes.
And we found a lot of common ground within those projects.
Yes.
And we found we worked really well together.
And as she mentioned earlier, she was a little sheltered, so was I. Yes. But I wasn't as shy as Brandy.
Yeah. I was quite shy. Like,
but we
overly so, like, it detrimentally so, I guess, you know.
I wouldn't say detrimental.
I think by the time I got to you, I was like trying my best to break out of it. So yeah. I knew I had a problem and I needed to break out of that shell if I really wanted to live the life I wanted to live.
Right.
So it was when I met you, I was like in the take me as a friend stage. It was very much like, you know, love me.
Yeah, and you're so sweet. Honestly, you were like the sweetest thing. And I'm so glad I came upon you, you know, because somebody would took advantage of that sweetness.
Yeah, and some people did. Aww. Some people did. And you know. Yeah, you know. I mean, there's some that did take advantage of that kind of positive light, generosity that I was just trying to, like, exude. And there, you know, and I was very sheltered, so I didn't realize what was happening.
Right.
And but you were one of those protectors that kind of came in too, and aww. You would tell me like what, you know, if someone was kind of maybe not the best for me to be around, you had no problem telling me, and I appreciated that kind of protectiveness.
You did the same.
Yeah, I tried to do
with
the same
ones.
Yeah, I tried to do the same too, and and that was the thing, is that we kept trying to like help each other, and I think that's building your friends up, is that's who you want around you. You don't want anyone who, like we had mentioned before, it was like they suck the life out of you.
Yes,
you know,
draining.
They're draining. Mm-hmm. What did John call it? It was an emotional mooch.
Yeah, emotional mooch.
Yeah, an emotional mooch. Mm-hmm. And that will drain you, and that will take that positivity out of your life. And we have always seemed to like add it back to each other's lives.
Exactly.
And I think that's where our friendship is really kind of bonded. Mm-hmm. And then, so we graduated,
mm-hmm.
you graduated almost a year before me.
Yes, because you took
I took a
semester off.
Took a semester off, went home, did more fine arts. I got a little burnout with all the technical.
Yes.
And I needed a little bit more fine arts to kind of break me onto a different creativity.
Mm-hmm.
So I took a little bit of time off, and then me and Lindsay graduated together.
Yes.
In December. You graduated like in March.
May.
You did graduate in May? Mm-hmm. So it's 6 months before us.
It's like either May, June. My niece's birthday is July 16th. It was June. She was 11 months.
June.
Oh. Yeah. You met little baby Kelby.
I did. She's too sweet.
Now she's 21.
Grown. What were you telling dates?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh. Cut that out.
No dates. But yeah, me and Lindsay graduated together. You graduated about 6 months before us.
Mm-hmm.
And then I graduated, let's just put it this way. I graduated right before a big major storm happened in my hometown.
Mm-hmm.
So I had decided to go ahead and move down to back to my hometown
mm-hmm.
in South Mississippi. And a huge storm happened. A lot of people said that it was New Orleans, but it was Mississippi, got pretty decimated.
Yeah.
Yeah. And during that, I had just opened up my interior design firm. Right out of school, opened it up, and then all of a sudden, everybody needs some sort of interior design work. And so I was like, I have to have help. I cannot do this by myself. I'm getting inundated, exhausted. And I called Shimmy, and she took a plane, was going to come check it out first,
mm-hmm.
ended up liking it. We mm-hmm. started working immediately, I think. Like, we just Absolutely. Started going through the drawings, and she started helping me out with the clients I already had. And we had other clients kind of pouring in. And so we did a lot of restoration on the Mississippi Gulf Coast mm-hmm. with a lot of different clients, both commercial and residential, lower end versus higher end. I mean, we did the gamut of all of it very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And then shortly after that, we had a recession happen.
Yeah.
And so then I had to close down the firm because nobody was doing interior design. Everyone was like kind of trying to do it themselves if they were doing anything at all. Right. And then you had to move off again.
Yeah.
But we've maintained contact. We've maintained Absolutely. Friendship and bonds. And,
ever since then.
Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. it's been great. And then so I got married whenever I was, what, 30 something?
30? You're not saying dates or ages.
Yeah, we're not saying dates right. I was a little bit older of a bride.
Yes.
And then we didn't have our first one until a few years later, and that's when I adopted. Mm-hmm. We fostered, and then we adopted my oldest. And Shimmy was right there taking pictures and celebrating with us and yes. treating him just like a nephew.
Because
he is, obviously. and he's just absolutely beautiful. And then I just kept fostering. And several years later, very recently, we just adopted two more little brothers. And so I have three crazy boys.
Boy mom.
Definitely a boy mom. Everyone keeps asking me if I'm going to have a girl. And I'm like, no, I'm done.
Yeah.
So I am well past the age of having children young. So... if I do adopt again, it will most likely be a teenager. But I doubt that we're going to adopt again because we're kind of maxed out right now. Okay. How these people do it with like 8 kids, I have no idea. 3 kids is like they say, what is it? 1 kid is 1 kid. 2 kids are 2 kids. 3 kids are like 375. Like they,
that's funny.
They just like multiply and they feed off of each other and they just... Mm-hmm. But yeah, the youngest ones have really attached to you this weekend since you've been here.
Yes, and I have them. We've created a little bond, mm-hmm. and I'm glad that we have.
They love their Aunt Shimmy.
Yes, and I love them. I love mm-hmm. all 3 of them. And they're different personalities, and you just look at their little faces. It's like, in 10 years, I wonder what you're going to be like. And I got a peek of what's going to be there, and mm-hmm. it's beautiful. It is, and you and John are doing a fine job of raising them.
Thank you.
And they're happy, healthy, beautiful boys.
They're definitely a handful, though.
Yeah, I mean, they're boys.
They're definitely boys.
They're boys, and it's like, how do you know this? And you're only like 3.
Oh, yes, they're sponges. They're definitely. I don't care who says different. It is. There's a difference between boys and girls and raising them.
Mm.
And several of my friends have girls mm-hmm. and all girls and a mixture between girls and boys. But mostly if they have girls, they have all girls.
Mm.
And I've got the all boys. And every time I'm with them, they're just like eyes wide open. It's like deer in headlights. They're watching the wildness. And I am raising like kind of feral boys. I mean, we have a farm. We do a lot of outside stuff.
Yes.
We we let them.
They're rough.
We let them go
wild.
Yeah.
Yes, and they're boys, and it's great that they're exploring that as boys. They're not stuck inside. I came from a generation where kids were stuck inside, mm-hmm. and so as we get older or our families change or develop. We generally want to, offset the things that we didn't do to align with things that we would like to do within our family, to change those those generational things that was passed down that we may not like or didn't want to be involved. Like, kids didn't have a say, or kids just, you know, you see kids, but you don't hear them kind of thing. However,
or things that we didn't know about. Like, our parents didn't know a lot of things with child rearing, that it wasn't passed down to them as much as it was previous generations.
Right.
Because they were starting to work more, both families out in the house, you know, out of the household working. It was a lot of changes that happened whenever we were kids.
Yeah.
And then now we lacked some things, so now we're trying to give it back to
Our kids. Exactly. And so I've noticed with my nieces and nephews of the things that, what we desired as a children, and we want, of course, they want the best for their children. And I see that. I see the growth in it, and I think it's beautiful. So that was my main point, is that, those things that our parents weren't aware of, or wasn't hip to, because honestly, we now in a technology age where it's not just regional that we gather information, but we can gather it globally and know it that, oh, it's just not happening here. It happens there too. Or that person had the same experience as me. And so that's the reason circling back to the podcast and what we're going to discuss, different topics, different avenues of what we've learned since becoming adults. And we're just going to explore that more. And just our friendship, like I said, I don't think we ever had a real fight. Like, we had disagreements. Brady doesn't fight.
I don't. I am non-confrontational.
She will avoid it like the plague until you get to her and be like, hey.
Yeah.
It has to be something that really bothers her, where it's almost, where either it hurt her feelings or made her really upset, where she cries.
Damaged trust. That's where I kind of out, is damaged trust. Mm-hmm. So I think if the trust leaves, that's when I'm out. But generally, I'm like all in with everybody.
Yeah. She's a very trusting, very loving person. She definitely will allow that trust. She gives everyone 100% at first. Get to what I'm saying. Like, and it's taking back some. So if you start at 100, she starts, like some teachers start you at 100%. And from there, if it's not, if there's no reciprocity of that relationship, or if there's no respect within that relationship, she would definitely scale it back to like 90.
Whittle it down.
And 90. Then 80. And then like she's totally gone when there's nothing there left to rebuild. So she's definitely a person that will give or allow you the 100% of trust. Me, on the other hand, you start at zero.
And you have to build it up.
And you build it up from there. Uh-huh. Now, if
she will call you out really quickly. And I love that, though. Because I'm like, I want to do that sometimes. It's like, I want to say what I'm thinking. Uh-huh. And to be like, no, that's not cool. You're not going to treat me like that.
Right.
And you would just be like, oh, honey, we're not doing that. And I'm like, oh, okay. Yes, ma'am.
No.
But it was in a respectful way. It was never in a mean way. But it was more like, oh, no, we're not. That's a boundary that's when you test it. As in college, you test out different things. And I remember one time I was like, I said something and you were just like, oh, yeah, no, that's a hard boundary. We're not doing that. And I was like, okay. Like, it was good to get that feedback.
Yeah.
But because it wasn't sugarcoated, but at the same time, it was very clear.
Yeah.
And it set your boundary. And that's what, and I've always been envious of that, of being able to say what you want, to say what you need, and to set those boundaries. Because like you and my husband and my mother have all been telling me, I need to rest more and say no more.
Yes.
But I also get something from that too.
Yeah.
As I am like my father, and we are workaholics.
Yes.
And
yes,
it's work, I get something from that. Yeah. So it's not selfless. It's right. Definitely selfish of me to do a lot of different things because I do get that feedback. It's that positive feedback for me.
Mm-hmm.
So
that is your love language.
It is. Mm-hmm. I like to do stuff. Mm-hmm. So it's, and I like to stay busy.
Acts of giving.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I like to stay busy.
So yeah, you do.
But you have been able to be like, oh yeah, let's jump in with me and do things. But then sometimes you're like, it's rest day. Let's watch a classic movie. You know?
Oh yeah. Oh my gosh.
Let's just have a rest day.
Yeah, yep. I forgot
our
about
TMC
it.
Days. And mm-hmm. What was it? TMC. AMC.
AMC.
We'd watch the black and white films all. Like, we would just take a rest day from college and
yeah.
All of the intense projects and just zone out.
Yeah.
And get. And Gene Kelly. Movie. We were definitely Gene Kelly fans.
Mm-hmm.
All the dancing. Yeah. My favorite movie has always been Singing in the Rain.
Yes. Yes.
Uh huh.
Mm-hmm. Or a good Breakfast at Tiffany or Roman Holiday.
Roman Holiday. Oh gosh, I love Roman Holiday.
So yeah. But I just know that, you know, Brandy gives 100% to everyone. And as I mentioned, you start at ground zero. That doesn't mean that it's lacking of respect for this person. It's just that we're all eye to eye, and we'll build up from there on both ends. So, yeah.
But it takes both ways.
Exactly. Both
ways. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And like you said, it's like some people take advantage of that 100%, and some people don't rise to 10% for you, and therefore you've already been able to weed them out.
Exactly.
Where it takes me, like, longer time to weed them out. It takes you, like, and I've always been amazed at your analytical skills. You should have went into the FBI. You seriously have. Seriously, this girl would go into an interview. She didn't do good interviews for, like, jobs because it wasn't that you weren't qualified. Mm-hmm. And I've seen it. Like, I watched you in the interior design field.
Mm-hmm.
She would know more about that person within 10 minutes of just sitting and talking with them in their space. She knew their likes, dislikes, how they moved around, how they like really saw life. I mean, it was just amazing what you could pull out of just a snippet of time, you know? And you would be out of your head looking around, but everybody else in that situation is all in their head. They're thinking, oh, I have to do this, and I must say this, and oh, is it hot in here? And you're just like cool as a cucumber looking around, which made you seem kind of aloof, I guess, to some people.
Okay.
But it was like I knew what you were doing because I figured it out. But if someone didn't know what you were doing, it would be kind of like, oh, she wasn't that interested. You were highly interested.
Yeah.
And it was, if you could go back and do a second interview with most of those people, they would be amazed. But a lot of them wouldn't give you that second chance to come back. But it was just, I kept saying, like, I just want to call these people and be like, call her back. Like, just, you've got to have that second interview because she'll blow you away. Like, you've always been so detail-oriented and so analytical that you pulled it out. And it was always amazing to watch. It was like a dance or something, like a really cool song. You just would watch, and you're just like in awe.
Well, thank you so much. And it's so funny that you say that because you, on the other hand, would do excellent on interviews. You would do like, because you're such a professional. You know what I mean?
Well, I grew up in the family business. Yes. So I've been answering phones and doing all that stuff for pretty much my whole life.
And where Brandy would, if somebody asked her a question, she'll get right to it. And that's it. Me, on the other hand, you know, I'll go ahead and frock around daisies, you know, just to be like, answering the question.
But you would still be working. They just couldn't see it. Like,
I just was like, I would dance around that question because it's like, I didn't know.
Think about it.
Yeah, so I would dance around it, you know. But on the other hand, we have a friend. We're going to name her L.
Oh, she's the queen of BS.
That
she's
the girl queen. Would.
She knows who she is.
She
I
would.
Have bowed down to this one after presentation. I worked all semester long on this art project. And I mean, I did photo shoots of people to like add it in. I recreated Botticelli's Primavera. It was my favorite painting.
Mm-hmm.
And I recreated, had all of these new people come in. I did like a modern version of it.
Mm-hmm.
And the night before, she came in, used magazines, ripped it all up.
Like two magazines, yeah, literally only two, like magazines, two magazines.
Like Vogue and something else.
Yeah, and it was like a big magazine.
She did this big poster board. And it was like exotic, a little bit erotic, like all this kind of stuff, which made our teacher, who was definitely in that kind of realm, she presented like she had thought so deeply about this. I was just, wow. Like, this is the queen. This is the queen of BS. She did it so well. And everyone was just, oh, this is so good. And they just, like, pass around my little Botticelli thing. Like, yeah, whatever. Like, that's cute. And I was just like.
And you did all that work. It was like we had to schedule people, other classmates in.
Yeah.
And was like, had them set up. And she individually took their pictures. She had to get them scanned and filmed and everything. And then she painted on top of it.
Yeah, it was like
this awful lot. And had it rearranged. And that. It was just like, and it took days.
The entire semester to do it. The entire semester.
Did it really?
Yeah, because as soon as he gave us the project, I started lining up. I knew what I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to line up the three Graces all together. Had to do their outfits. I had to get...
I forgot about that. Yeah. Like, you staged everyone and took their picture.
And my brother was the redneck Cupid up top with the little shirt and like the...
He had his belly out.
Belly out, yeah.
That was so cute. Do you still have that?
Oh, yeah. It was in
the home. Oh, my goodness.
No, I'm never getting rid of that.
I would. Like, and then she had it professionally framed.
I did. Well, it wasn't then.
Was it not?
I didn't frame it then.
Oh, I thought it had
No,
it
I
framed.
Did have a frame.
Yeah.
I had one left over from when I worked at the frame shop.
Oh, okay. But you made it, right?
No, I didn't. No, it was already, like, it was one that was, like, pre-done. So it just fit that frame. It just fit that picture.
Got you. But either way, it was so detailed and beautiful. And here she is. Presented it all, and Lindsay did it in like a couple hours.
But yeah, we had some interesting times in college.
Mm-hmm.
All of the all-nighters.
Beautiful, beautifully funny stories.
Yeah. I still have that glass top. Glass tabletop. Yeah, we found that one. What was it, by the dumpster?
Uh-huh.
In the middle of the night. I think it was like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
And I had the Mustang put the top down and rolling in, and he's sitting in the back with a little Miss America behind the
passenger.
I'm like, if people saw us coming down there, people saw us in the middle of the night, they're like, what are these girls doing? Like, we were like drunk at that point. Like, we were exhausted.
Yeah.
I don't know how many, that last all semester. Nighters. That last semester I did, what is it? It was only a quarter long.
Mm-hmm.
And I had two studios with two other classes. And it was, I think I did like 20 all-nighters.
Wow.
Which was, I mean, more than two a week.
Yeah, at that time I was already graduating.
Yeah.
And so I was working. And we saw each other still.
Yeah.
But not as often because you was,
yeah,
you know, and I was in the real world working.
Uh-huh.
Retail.
Well, still that was when I was also dating that guy. And he wanted me to hang out more. And I'm like, I'm exhausted. Like, I cannot do you right now.
Think we're good? Yeah, this was amazing. And just stay tuned to the
Effervescent Home podcast.